Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're in part 166 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. If you'd like a copy of that program, this program that we're doing right now, mark down program number 268. That's program 268, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of it. It's one to your friends and even your enemies, if you like. We'll send copies of it, and also we'll send you, it'll be postage paid and handling paid as well. And if you like, if you need a Bible, you can't afford one, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge, postage paid and handling. And we have, I've written lots of literature, and we have CDs and tapes, so please specify at the end of the program what it is that you'd like to have. All right, now we have some testimonials from the radio program that we have all over the world, and some testimonies from people that have read the articles that I've written in newspapers that we have been lately putting newspapers, literature in different newspapers, and we've gotten a tremendous response. As a matter of fact, we used to get more mail from Africa and India, but now we're getting more mail from the United States of America. I thought everybody here was dead almost, but now we're getting some very good responses. We have music and these testimonials, as I mentioned, and a message that is very timely, fresh bread, fresh manna from the kingdom of heaven. But right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to open your ears and your heart and your spirit, your soul, to receive the things that, Father, you give me this evening. Anoint me greatly for the purpose of the church being strengthened, but first souls being saved, the church being strengthened, so that we can all become one very quickly, because we're living in the last days, as you're letting me know, Lord, and it's closer to the end of time than anyone that I'm hearing on television or radio. Much closer than anybody has any idea. We're right at the end of time. And so, Lord, do that in the name of Jesus, that the souls would be saved and the church given more power, which is the same as grace. Power. By God's power, we're more than conquerors. With God's power living in us, we're more than conquerors over our flesh. Sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, and the grave. Oh, Lord God, we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can tell Buster's in our congregation here this evening. We just have a few people in my recording studio here, in my throne room, where we get up to the throne of God and talk to him, and he talks back to us. Right now, we're going to have some music. I recorded I, John, with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. These are the boys that used to sing with Elvis. They told me they're only going to do is sing with Elvis and myself, and I thought that was really great because Elvis and I knew each other very well, and he was, to me, when I knew him, he was a great guy. I mean, he was sober. And he wasn't taking drugs when Sue and I prayed him through to be a Christian. Okay, so I, John, this means I, John, saw these things in the book of Revelation. Go ahead.
Well, and I, John, saw a mighty number way in the middle of the air. I jumped so mighty number, when there were three gates in the east, and there were three gates in the west. Three gates in the north, three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, four square one. Hallelujah, come, Emmanuel, I jumped takes on a mighty number of these. Well, in the middle of the year, that jumps on a mighty number of these. Well, in the middle of the year, oh, John declared that he saw a man. There 12 stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, I wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Cause he felt the gospel cut like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice, well, John, take a look. Read what you see, and then write a book. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north. 12 angels in the south. 48 angels to the city. Four square wide. Hallelujah. The body moving up. It's a mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, I've done it's a mighty number.
One of the greatest gospel singers in the world was Elvis Presley, and another one that most people that are really born again of the Spirit that can't stand this, what they call gospel rap, or this new modern age supposed to be gospel, their favorite singer was Jack Holcomb. And we're going to play one of his records. I asked the Lord to comfort me. And, you know, good gospel singing happens to be singing that will comfort you and will bring you closer to the Lord. Rap music doesn't do that. Rock and roll does not do that. And there's just nothing. Now, this is what I did here on I, John. That is gospel. It's a little bit exciting regarding the end of time. And if people are not exactly excited in these last days, there must be something wrong with them. The Bible states that if you're not excited regarding the end of time here, well, then you must be lukewarm. Or maybe you're not even warm at all in any way. If you're not, if you're lukewarm, the Lord says he'll spew you out of his body. And it's for sure the Lord doesn't want to do that, but there are rules and regulations that the Lord has. And the more you read the Bible, and the longer you read it, the Word of God that is, the more it is absolutely right. You know that. And the problem with a lot of people that don't read the Bible, but they read Roman canon law. This Roman canon law is about the size of a New York phone book. And a lot of people don't realize that we're actually living according to the laws of Rome. Now, the more you read the Bible, the more you evidently know that it's absolutely true. And the Bible says that Satan's seat is in Rome. And why would we be, if Satan's seat is in Rome? Look at this, Buster. Would you believe that?
That's thick.
Have you ever seen Roman canon law book before?
No, sir.
Okay, so this is a revelation to you.
Yes, it is. Yes,
and you can tell. You start reading it, and it says the American government will do this, and the American government will do that, and the churches all over the world must do this, and the churches all over the world must do that, and it tells you exactly what they're doing right now. And the Word of God has to be removed from the earth. And the name Jesus has to be taken from the world. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They want you to listen to Satan's seat. This is where Satan sits. It's in Rome, Italy, the Bible says. Now, but you wouldn't know that unless you read the Word of God. Because the longer that we study the Word of God, not just read it, but study it, the more that it is absolutely, evidently, without any doubt, true. The longer we live, manifestations appear showing us that the things that are mentioned in the Bible are come to pass right before our eyes, and that the if we neglect the truths of which the Bible speaks, it will always destroy our peace and confidence towards heaven. You know, there's so many people that have absolutely fallen away from the Word of God, which is God. The Bible says, in the beginning was God. It was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the more you get away from the Word of God, pretty soon there's not even one inkling of God in your heart, your soul, your spirit, your mind. And then the time comes when the death angel hovers over you, and you try to get back after so many years of neglect, and you find that it's impossible. Because the Bible says when you get away from the Lord and you start leaning on the Roman canon law and on Satan's seat and where all his lies and hatred towards the Word of God, God himself, and Jesus, who is God himself. There are three members of the body of God, and that's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And pretty soon you start screaming out that I'm dying, oh God, save me. And the Bible says in the first chapter of Proverbs that he's going to laugh at you and mock at you. And because of the fact that you thought his word was nothing, it was he put it aside as though it were naught. In other words, nada, nothing. Then he starts, and you laugh and mock and scoff at it. And you laugh at comedians that are making fun of it. And then you say, oh, God, please have mercy on me. And he says, you're going to scream out, oh, God. He's going to say, oh, God, have mercy on me. And you'll say, oh, please, God. And he's going to go, oh, please, God. Ha, 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 ha. He'd laugh at you, little monkey. I mean, that's the way he is. You thought he was just a nothing. And then you're going to know. And no one knows if that is going to happen to you a minute from now, or even in the middle of the night when you're laying there helpless. And the Lord showed me how quickly judgment comes unto a person, death and judgment. I was laying on my stomach, and I was sound asleep, and all of a sudden the Lord said, here's how fast judgment is. He pulled the soul right out of me and went to the sky. It was totally gray with clouds. And it opened up just a little bit to get my little soul through there. And it went up for like a split of a second, and it went right down. There wasn't a chance to say, let alone, oh, God, there wasn't enough time to say, oh. It just went that fast. And the Lord said, see? I said, yea, Lord. So he wanted me to preach that to people. And so, you know, it's very important that you study the Word of God and pay strict attention to what it says, because the more you study the Word of God, the more you know that it's true and that Roman canon law is the devil. Okay? Amen. So the Bible states that the Bible tells us that we've got three different evil, wicked, frog-like looking spirits. They come out of Satan's mouth, the mouth of the great red dragon, and they look like little frogs. And even the people in hell, when that happens, they're going to say, is this the thing? Are these the things that destroyed the earth and caused all these people that caused us to go to hell, little frog-like spirits? My Lord and my God, oh God, we're here forever because of these weasels. And then, and one of them was the spirit of the Roman Church. That's this Roman. This is where that Roman canon law comes from. It tells us in the this big book. You should go down to the Catholic bookstore and buy one. Or maybe even a bookstore you can get them. The one I've got here, it says the new commentary on the code of Roman canon law. And what does it say here, this part?
An entirely new and comprehensive commentary by canonists from North America and Europe with a revised English translation of the code.
Right. And then it starts out saying this is Roman canon law. And I was going to read some tonight. Could be that the Lord has changed the format here. But he did want me to speak on it. And we also have some letters here and some reports from, I've been in lots of newspapers from the New York Daily News, the Chicago, what was the name of that?
Tribune.
Yeah, the Chicago Tribune, the Houston Chronicle, was that the Chronicle, and the Orange County Register, the which is a big paper, and the San Diego Union, and also other Chicago papers, Illinois papers, and Oklahoman, and the St. Louis paper, all of the papers in Montana, and it goes on and on. I could just keep going. And so we have some of the comments from people that read it, and also from people that have heard my radio program or read our the literature that the Lord has given me. So what's the first one? Where's the first one from, Lydia?
From Sacramento, California.
Okay.
Dear Tony, praise God, and praise God. It was so good reading your beautiful and uplifting testimony in the newspaper today. I get the Sacramento Bee and opened up the paper and was so blessed seeing a whole page of your testimony. It's so refreshing to see something positive and Christian, as usually we don't see this.
Roman canon law won't allow it. They're the ones that are, you know, hating the gospel, hating the name Jesus and the Word of God. They're the ones that have put all the curriculum in the secular schools. And a lot of people, I'm saying this because the Lord wants all you people, not only in the United States, but throughout the world, to wake up and realize that you've been had. You've been had. And you're so busy with business and paperwork and trying to make ends meet because the Roman canon law, it was their idea, Rome, Satan's idea, to take the strength of the United States of America and destroy the youth by inventing these wars, and then also by splitting up our wealth, like the entire automobile industry, and giving it to Japan and Germany and other places. And the way they did that was to open unions. Now, the unions cause some workers, even janitors, to get like $25 an hour. And also the people that put little nuts on these, lug nuts on the wheels of cars, give them maybe $35, okay, a real important job, you know, put a lug nut on, and then one guy screws one nut on with one of these automatic guns, and it goes to the next guy, and he does it, and they get all this money. Well, but in Japan and other places like China, they give them maybe a couple of bucks a day and a bowl of rice, okay, and it's gotten, I hear, a little bit better. And they make them go to sleep and live in little pigeonholes. They got little slots. It looks like where we store coffins in the funeral homes or in the morgue in downtown L.A. and other cities. Just little cubicles for you to slide into and get a good night's sleep, so long as you don't have to roll over. If you do that, well, it's a little bit tight. Especially for one of these sumi wrestlers. They can't quite squeeze in there. They have to use a shoehorn. All right, so let's continue on.
God bless you and your ministry. I would love to have a copy of the booklet entitled Messiah of the Prophecies of the Old Testament. Thank you and keep on keeping on. I know you are a blessing to him and I pray all those who read this testimony. God bless. Joy from Sacramento, California.
Praise the Lord. That's the state capital, of course, of California, where Mr. Schwarzenegger sits. Now, the Antichrist sits in Rome, and Mr. Schwarzenegger sits in Sacramento, but he must obey the Roman canon law, so it's like an extension of our enemy in Rome. And the Bible says it's our enemy. I'm not making this up. Read the Bible, because the more you study the Bible, the more it is evident that it is absolutely right. The longer we live, manifestations appear showing us that the things that we read and study in the Bible, that is absolutely true. And that to neglect the truths of which it, the Bible speaks will always destroy, to neglect it, it'll destroy your soul. And it'll destroy the peace, your peace and confidence towards heaven. When you're going to go out to meet God, you're going to want to have confidence, you know, that you're right, so that you can have a smile on your face when you go out to meet Him. And there's so many people that are in the wrong. They don't have Christ as their, the mind of Christ. They don't have anything of the Lord. And these people have grimaces on their faces when they go out. You can see it's even in their caskets, but there's a look of peace on a born of this Holy Spirit Christian when they go out to meet the Lord. As a matter of fact, many of them have a big smile on their face. They could be in a coma. And I've seen where they just sit up with a smile on their face and their arms go up into the air to receive, to say, praise the Lord. Because I know that that happens because, believe it or not, I mean, I know you believe in Roman canon law, but let me tell you something that I saw. I saw Jesus with my eyes wide open. And when I saw Him, I thought I'd be afraid if I ever saw the Lord, but I knew that He really loved me, that He liked me. That was the thing that really got me, that He liked me. And I just wanted to be with Him. I said, Lord, I had a big smile on my face. And if you have confidence that you've been studying the Word and that you've been doing what the Word says, instead of reading this Roman canon evil satanic thing that comes from the devil, and you don't have any confidence in this, in this big telephone book, but if you have confidence in the Word of God, you're going to have peace on this earth, because it doesn't make any difference if somebody threatens that they're going to put your lights out, they're going to destroy you, they're going to bomb you, they're going to kill you, or they're going to put you in prison. You've got peace that no matter what happens, if you study the Word, you've got confidence, and when you're going out to meet the Lord, you're going to have a smile on your face. Believe me, I didn't think of death when I saw Him. I thought, oh my God, this is life. I'm not going into death. I'm leaving this world, which is nothing but a big, ugly mud ball. And it's so beautiful in heaven. And hell even looks way worse than it is here. And of course, you know, if you read the Bible, you'll know all that. So don't only read it, study it. And you'll find out that it's absolutely true. Okay, what else do you have there?
This is from Ada, Oklahoma.
Ada, okay. And Buster knows all about that place, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Then what?
Dear brother in Christ, Pastor Tony Alamo.
He's proud to be an Okie from Ada. Okay, then what?
The article Dry Bones that you wrote and had printed in the Oklahoman was such a blessing to me. In 1950, August 27th, about noon, our God came into my heart and life in such a wonderful way. I've never been the same since that day. Do you have that article in tract form? I could use a few of them.
Oh, this you got saved in 1950?
Yes.
Wow, that was way before I got saved. That was saved in 64. So he was saved 14 years before me. Or she. Okay, then go ahead, continue.
I'll be 91 years this month, but try to get the word out to the lost. Sincere best of God's blessings on you, Jewel from Ada, Oklahoma.
Praise the Lord, Jewel. Oh, glory be to God. Then what else you have there?
From San Diego, California. Pastor Lamo, what a wonderful article in the newspaper. Thank you for publishing it.
See, now you people can order these articles if you like. It's free of charge. Postage and handling is taken care of. So order them. It really has made a difference in millions of people's lives all over the world. Go ahead.
I had many people said they read it. I wish this was a hundredfold to help you with the cost. Bless you, Molly from San Diego, California.
Well, bless you. God bless you too, Molly. And anything else?
Then from Andhra Pradesh, India, greetings to you, my dear beloved brother, Tony Alamo, in Christ Jesus. Our hearty, warmest greetings to you and your dear family and ministry in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear precious brother, I have been carrying his wonderful service very diligently and devotedly. Especially, I have been distributing your literature in several new places. Many unsaved people have been saved by your spiritual message. It has wonderful, holy power indeed. Please send some more literature and soul-winning books.
No one, the Bible says, can get saved unless it's the Holy Spirit. That's why I like playing music by Jack Holcomb and Fage Springman and people like that, and myself, okay, because we sing in the Spirit.
Amen.
All right? And it doesn't matter how loud somebody sings, they can sing very soft. And Jack Holcomb's going to sing for you in just a few minutes. I asked the Lord to comfort me when things weren't going my way. And he said to me, I'll comfort you and make all your cares go away. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, you keep your mind stayed upon the Lord, and he'll give you perfect peace and a sound mind. So all you people that might be in mental institutions, all you have to do is keep your mind on the Lord, and you'll have a sound mind. So it shows, the Bible shows that insanity is a demon possession, but the demons go away when Jesus comes down to you. He puts his hand on you, and those demons, he just casts them out, and then you have peace of mind. You have peace and a sound mind, just like Legion did. This man had a legion of demons in him. And he was cutting himself and, you know, walking all over the graveyard and living in a cave, a tomb. But once the Spirit of the Lord cast all those demons out, he was a perfect peace and a sound mind. And everybody wondered because they saw this maniac taking stones and ripping his flesh open all the time. And so no matter how cuckoo you may have been, you won't be that way anymore. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we all kind of crazy, especially, you know, before we get saved. I know I was acting crazy as a looningale, you know, but now I'm saved and I've got good thinking. And, of course, the Roman canon law people try to make it look like you're crazy when you have faith in the Lord. They'd rather have you have faith in Satan, whose seat is in Rome. And they say, if you don't believe this Roman canon law, we're going to cut your head off. We're going to kill you. Is that supposed to be the Lord? This man is claiming to be God on earth, and he's telling you that if you don't worship him, he'll put you to death. The Lord says if he's going to give you chances, and he tells you if you worship him, you go to heaven. If you don't, he's not going to cut your head off. You'll just find out that he really is the Lord on the last day. And your soul will go to hell and then into the lake of fire. So you have to, both of them claim they're going to kill you if you don't believe them. Well, I'll take the one. See, Satan can kill you, but he can't send your soul to hell. Amen?
Amen.
So I'll believe in the one that says that he can kill me and send my soul to hell. All Satan can do is kill you. But he can't even do that if the Lord won't let him. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're a fair-haired boy of the Lord or girl, and you're so valuable to the Lord because you really get the word of God out so people can hear it, then God will put a hedge around you, a wall of fire, and Satan will not be able to even harm one hair on your head or on your arms. Okay, what else?
So many youngsters lose their sinful life and their personal life. Our Almighty God has healed them. Numbers of people are cured from their diseases and read your literature. Thanks to the Lord again and again. Please pray for us. We are also praying for you, your beloved sister in Christ Jesus, Sister Kumari from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay, Sharon. let's come forward and let's... Well, first, let's give Buster a chance here to give a little testimony tonight. He just came back from the church service, and he, I believe you opened the service?
No, sir. Bert opened, and Sion gave the message.
Oh, really? I told him. Well, they got it all mixed up.
Oh.
But anyway, so here's your chance. Worldwide.
Oh,
don't
right.
Get nervous. Only about 2 billion people are listening to you.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. We had a great service again tonight, and... Sion gave a wonderful message, very heartfelt message, and it's great to just be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a member of the body of Christ. I remember back prior to June of 2003, in the carnal state, I thought I had it made, and I thought I had everything the world had to offer, and yet there was always something that seemed lacking, and then the devil would pop up and give you something else to pacify you for a little while. But once you're truly saved and have God living in you and working in and through you, that peace and joy that you have is astounding.
Yeah, the devil has got more than 31 different flavors to offer you.
Yes, he does.
Man, he's got, if you don't like chocolate, he'll give you vanilla, if not vanilla, strawberry, and then he's got flavors, all sorts of things that you never heard of in your life.
Amen.
But he knows how to entice you. But if you just remember that the devil hates you, and the Lord it is that loved you and died for you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I've seen the devil since I've been saved, twisting friends of mine I've known for decades. And to see how he works, how slimy he really is. And you can go out and you can witness and you can testify to people and you can see the Lord touching them. And the greatest thing is to win souls through the Holy Spirit in each one of us and see them come into the light.
Well, for sure, you've been letting the Lord use you to touch him because there's so many people in the area where you live, Texarkana, Texas.
Yes, sir.
And they're from all walks of life, restaurant owners, judges, attorneys, and all that, and they've all really are turning around. There's like hundreds of people that you've touched. God's been really using you, Buster, in a strong and mighty way.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Thanks a lot, Buster.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Sharon, let's get with it. Let's read a little bit of this Roman canon law here. Okay, I was going to read from the 12th chapter of Revelation, but where you first started out, just to prove to you a little bit, we don't want to get into because this book is so thick, it's like reading the telephone book. That would get kind of boring after a while. Okay, go ahead.
Theology and canon law. The issue of the relationship between doctrine and law in the life of the church has emerged...
When they're talking about the church, they're talking about the cult, the Catholic cult. Then what?
Has emerged with some force and urgency after Vatican Council II.
See, this is the law of our land. Amen?
Amen.
It says that here are the laws that Rome has come up with for the United States of America. Okay, then go ahead.
The theological statements of the fathers had to be translated.
The fathers means, you know, the popes, the cardinals, and the bishops and so on of that cult. Here they are molesting little boys, and then they're taking everybody else to court. The judges belong to them. Most of the judges, not all of them, but there's a whole, you know, on the whole, they are Roman canonists. Then go ahead.
The theological statements of the fathers had to be translated into legislative enactments. As faith sought and found new intelligence at the council, the same faith demanded and searched for new norms of action after the council.
New norms. They're saying, oh, there's the... See, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the Bible is too. It never changes.
Amen.
But they say that we have to change because humanity gets more and more depraved all the time, and so we have to... lax up on the laws of the land for the depraved people, and we have to make it more strict for people that believe in the law of God, which is the only law that we must keep. We can't keep the law of God unless the Spirit of God enters into us. And that's why Jesus had to come, so that he could become a life-giving Spirit. After he left his body, and after he died, and then he was reconnected with his body, and it was transformed or translated into a heavenly ecclesiastical body. Then he went up into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud. And then he became the life-giving spirit. He was able to send his spirit down into whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you save, the Spirit of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit enters into you by the Holy Spirit, incidentally, and you become a new creature. You become born again of the Spirit. Now, he says that he makes us a nation of kings and priests. What that means is, it doesn't mean like a priest, like a Catholic priest. They sit in a little booth and you come to them and confess your sins. The Lord says, confess your sins to God and your faults one to another. We're not to be a priest to people here on earth, but in the Old Testament, and we still go by the Old Testament as far as learning what the New Testament says, there was one priest, one and one only, and he was the only one that could go up to minister for people's sins after they give animal sacrifices, which were types, figures, or shadows of Jesus. And so there was only one priest. But now, so we're priests before the Lord. We can go up and pray for other people and for ourselves before him. We're a priest to God, not humans. Okay, we don't go to a human. We witness to humans, but we don't come and listen to their sins. This is why so many Catholic priests are perverts. They listen. You know, Father, I shot three people last night. Now, what do I have to do? Oh, light a few candles, say a few Hail Marys and Our Fathers, and then say, I will not kill, you know, 1,000 times. And then, is that all, Father? And give $10,000 to the church. They don't say the cult, just the church, okay? And so, they do it. And what a religion. This is a great religion for people that are gangsters and pranksters and people that, but it's a good one to live by, because all you got to do is get rid of your sins by giving money and lighting candles and things. But the Bible says that sin is taken away only with the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Only the blood of Jesus can take away your sins, not money. And so what they are doing is making the truth of God into a lie. They're saying that God is lying, that you can give money and say, go through some rituals with the beads and all this. That's nothing. God despises that, that you would take the blood of his precious son that he sent into this world to give his life on the cross and shed his blood so that you could be forgiven of all your sins and that you could have everlasting life in you and be raised from the dead on the last day because of the Spirit of God in you, and then to say that, no, that's nothing. You could just say, light a few stinking candles that you get for 25 cents a little box and you can some rosary beads or something, which has nothing. That's idolatry. And so this is what we have against the devil. The Bible says we can only love one master. There's two of them. One is the Lord, the other one is the devil. If you love the Lord, you'll get into heaven. And you don't have to fear anybody, because heaven is way better than this. If they kill you, it's no big deal with me. They made my day if they kill me, okay?
Amen.
So, but if, and Jesus said, don't fear him who can just take your life, but fear him who can take your life and throw your miserable soul into hell. That's the one he says you're to fear, and that's the Almighty God.
Amen.
Okay, continue on, Sharon.
Thus, while the work of the revision of the Code of Canon Law progressed...
See, they keep revising it because they see that Christians, the real Christians, are getting stronger. But they see the world getting weaker because they fear the great whore, which the Lord calls the Vatican. And the government, the one world government, he calls the beast. And the media, on the large, you know, there's some people good in media, but on the whole, He calls them the mouth of Satan, because they're the ones that brainwash you. The Bible says that Satan deceived the entire world. The entire world. Well, you say, well, you're in the world. No, I'm not. Well, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. He says that in the world, we're like sheep among wolves, because they're going to try to destroy you. But that's been, people have been trying to do that to me for years. And there's a man that used to be against us. He was at the church for a while, and then he left. And he was against us, and he called me today and told me a lot of things that these people are doing that he doesn't like. He knows they're lying. He said, how could anybody see the way your church is growing and think that you're not of the Lord? He says, my God, we see this big buildings that you're building, and we see that the gospel is going clear around the world. And anybody that would think that you're not of the Lord, and after the whole world government has tried to destroy you and you just keep growing and growing and growing, they'd have to be out of their mind. He says, and I tell these other people that are on these internet boards and stuff like that, you better lay off of him, man. Can't you see he's of the Lord? They sent him to prison. He comes out stronger than he was before.
Amen.
And this work is growing bigger and bigger all the time. I mean, we have, you know, we have that record, you can see. So we've had a lot of people try to stop us, and every single one of them either wound up in prison, on a morgue slab, and they turned into homosexuals. Because one of the things about the Lord, he says that these cities on the plain during the days of Moses and the days of Lot, he said there were cities out on the plain that were similar to, like, Palm Springs or Las Vegas. They had sin-loving cities. And they had nothing to do but just lounge around and relax and, do perverted things and all that. And they turned into homosexuals and adulterers and fornicators because they were living a life of ease. And one of the most damning things that can happen to people is that you're living a life of ease. It's actually a blessing to work. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's an old saying that the old-timers used to say, that a soul, an idle mind, is the devil's workshop. I mean, if you're just easing back and living a life of ease, it says reclining on couches, drinking wine out of bowls, just wanton, eating and drinking, just like the Lord said they would be doing just before he comes back to earth. What a shock for these people that have been living a life of ease, and then they get thrown into the fire, and it's a workhouse. You talk about work. The Christian has to work here on this side of eternity, getting the gospel out with zeal. And by doing so, we get to rest throughout eternity. We can rest, and we have laughter and peace and tranquility, and we feel this incredible, enormous power of God that we only have a foretaste of in this world. We just have a foretaste of it. We get a little, we get like an anointing from the Lord, and oh, praise the Lord and everything, but just think, it's like magnified billions of times. I mean, it's like you're slain under the power, but you're not, because you're in the spirit, your spirit then. But your body goes with you. Now, when your body's in a grave, that's when you die. But that body isn't going to stay in that grave. The spirit is going to be reunited with your body on the day of judgment. And then the graves will open, and then the body with the spirit, and God is going to materialize every drop of dust that you were made out of. Even those that have been scattered in the sea after they've been cremated, every one of those little grams or granules of dust is going to come back together, because we must be judged. Our body and our spirit and soul must be judged for the things we've done in our body, in this body. So the body's going to be judged. And if we have done good, And good means what the Lord says, not Roman canon law, okay? Yeah, if you go by Roman canon law, you're going to be sad. And not sad, you're going to be terrified, and you're going to be, you're going to hate yourself, and you're going to hate Satan eternally. And eternally means forever and ever and ever and ever. And just when you hope the most that it's going to be over, it's going to go on forever, another millions and millions and zillions of years. And there's no getting out of it. And so, all we got to do is make sure that we don't listen to anyone else but the Lord. Okay? There's no profit in listening to anyone else but the Lord and his ministers. Because if I'm saying something to you, you can check it out in the Bible. I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Okay? So go ahead with Roman canon law a little bit more, because we're running out of time here pretty quick.
Theologians and canon lawyers looked for a...
And Roman canon lawyers, okay? What they're talking about here is Roman theologians and Roman canon lawyers. Then what?
Looked for a paradigm that could serve as a guide for the transition from doctrinal insights to juridical norms.
Okay. So they're talking about, they're looking for something when the Bible already has it. Amen?
Amen.
And they're, look, the things that their man is looking for, it's man's understanding, which is nothing. God's, the foolishness of God is wiser than all of man's wisdom, okay? So if you're listening to man's wisdom, you're listening to Satan, all right? Because man doesn't have any wisdom. The Bible says that they're dead in their sins and trespasses, and the dead know nothing. So why would you go by a bunch of dead theologians? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
In this process, two distinct questions emerged.
What kind of question?
Two distinct questions emerged.
You know, all the questions are answered in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
God's been protecting me all these 42 years. I'm going on 43 years in the Lord. Then what?
One, what is the place and role of law in the church?
Well, the Bible tells you what law is. Amen?
Amen.
Buster, what is law? What is the law of God? What are those commandments?
There's the original Ten Commandments, and then there's commandments that Jesus gave. One of the first of the two royal commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself.
But Buster didn't know I was going to say that, and the rest of them?
The Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God's name in vain, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, which in the New Testament is every day, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet.
All right, there's Ten Commandments right there, and no one can keep those commandments unless the Spirit of God is living in them. Somebody downtown, you know, a bunch of Buster's old cronies were trying to see if he really knew the Bible, and they were saying, there isn't anybody that is a theologian that can remember the Ten Commandments. And Buster said, he was at our church for what, about a year at that time?
Less than a year.
Less than a year, and he says, I know him. Because you learn stuff over at the Tony Alama Christian Ministry.
Amen.
And he rattled off the Ten Commandments, and they all had to shut their mouths. And Buster has astounded those people. He's really incredible. He studies those things. And when the Lord says something, Buster believes it, okay? But we have to just throw away all this Roman canon garbage. Because it's a garbage can. Okay, then what?
Two, what is the relationship between theology and canon law?
Well, none. Theology and canon law. It's all religion and canon law. So they call, what the man calls theology is religion. But the Bible says religion is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. We don't need any more religion. Religions are the ones that start all the wars. And they're all like religious wars. But Christians never use carnal weapons. Our weapon is the Word of God. And so there's a great difference. There's no difference between theology and Roman canon law. Okay, they may say it's something. Let's hear what they say it is.
The first question is an issue of systematic theology.
Systematic. Okay, then what?
It belongs to ecclesiology.
That's right. Ecclesiology. Okay, then what else?
The answer ought to identify, describe, and explain the place and role of law in the living body of the church.
The living body. You mean the dead body of that cult. Because none of the ones that are on the upper echelon are saved. They've all blasphemed the Holy Spirit by saying and worshiping the Pope, who said he's God. But the Lord says that when he comes back to earth again, every eye will see him, and he comes in clouds. I haven't seen one Pope come in the clouds yet.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Their minds are cloudy, but, you know, we didn't see them. Okay, and then what else? The smoke, when we see the smoke go up, I guess that's what they're being by the cloud, right? Okay, then what else?
Once such a systematic understanding is reached and articulated...
Systematic understanding, and what else?
Is reached and articulated, it may fulfill an apologetic scope as well.
Well, there's no apologies. There's no explaining, no complaining in the Lord. The Lord never apologized against it, about anything. Amen?
Amen.
He said, this is the way it is. I'm a dictator, and you either like it or don't like it. If you don't like it, you go to hell. If you like it, then you go to heaven. There's no two other way. It's either God or Satan. Amen? Then
Amen.
What else?
The origin, purpose, and nature of the law can reveal why and how it ought to be an integral part of the structures and operations of the community.
Okay. And you ought to hear what their law is. I mean, it's just, we're just touched the surface.
The second question focuses on a more specific issue, the relationship between theology and canon law. That is, on the mutual interaction between the doctrine of faith theory that has all to do with the community's beliefs and the norms of action, practice, that have all to do with the community's operation.
Okay, well, if you have faith, you don't worship Mary or you don't pray to her. That's heresy. And if you have faith, you don't pray to the saints, because their theory is, which is totally opposite the Bible, that you pray to the saints or just any number of men or Mary, and that they'll carry the message to God. But Mary and these other people that they made into statues, they're not saints, okay? They're not saints at all. Even if we want a sainthood Mary, she was, but a saint doesn't mean that they're part of God. Okay? God is God. There's only three parts of God. God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so there's none other than that. Mary is not God. She's not divine. She was a good born-again Christian woman. You can want to call her a saint, that's okay. But we saints are not God. All right? We're not.
Okay.
We're members of the body of Christ, but we are not God. Okay, then what?
One, what is the place and role of law in the church?
The law, why should they say something like that when you read the Bible? And the Bible says anyone that breaks one of the laws of God has broken them all. If you break the law of God, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it's very easy to see what it is. Well, I see my time is up. And so those of you that would like to believe the Lord rather than the devil, say this prayer if you want to be saved. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood to cover my soul all the sins I did in the past, and that I must take up the cross now and follow him and not sin. He says, go and sin no more. And so I intend to do exactly that. I open the door of my heart and I invite you to come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon your name shall be saved. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. no one that calls upon the name of Satan or the Roman canon law shall be saved, or any nun or Mary. Mary, that just infuriates the Father. So if you calling upon the Lord now, then you can say to the Lord, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise up your hands and thank and praise the Lord with all your heart and soul. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of this tape or CD. Please specify.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, until please tune in tomorrow until for another dynamic message, one that is really meant to win your soul, not to destroy it. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Now here's Jack Holcomb to sing, I Ask the Lord to Comfort Me.
He said to me, I will comfort you, and I'll lift your cares away. I ask the Lord to walk with me, when darkness was all that I knew. He said to me, never be afraid, for I will see you through. I didn't ask for riches, he gave me wealth untold, the moon and the stars, the sun and the skies, and he gave me eyes to behold. I thank the blessings each day. He came to me when I needed him. I only had to pray. And he'll come to you if you'll ask him.